You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Today on With the First Pick, we're talking about some of our favorite draft prospects in the 2024 class, or as we like to call them, Rick, fine young men. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's Rick Spielman. Rick, this is episode 150. Can you believe it? We made it 150. The other number, of course, and you're our guy. As we look at the official With the First Pick draft countdown board, it's getting low. How many days we got, Rick?
Can you believe it? There are only 2 days left until the 2024 NFL draft.
Unbelievable. I don't have any famous twos off the top of my head, so I'll go with Mason Rudolph. Famous two for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They win weird number two.
I'm sure Debo can come up with some as we get through this. All right, let's talk about some of these players on our list here. I can't believe we're 2 days away from the draft. If you missed it, by the way, we did a fantastic mock draft. Teams, me and Shrine Bowl director Eric Galco versus Rick and Josh Edwards, CBS Sports Draft Analyst. You can check that out in the feed. I think you would agree that me and Eric's team won.
We're just there to have fun. So go
just
look
there to have fun.
Have fun. There's an explanation behind that.
We got to get that shirt and then get it with the First Pick branding. And that way we can bring it full circle. Wear those to the pro day. See how that goes over. All right, let's talk about some of our favorite players in this draft. And look, these are guys that are names we know and maybe names that not everyone does know, but they should know as we get into the process here because the draft is upon us. So some of the consensus names, Caleb Williams, Byron Murphy. I don't know how much explanation we need at this point. I will say this to you, Rick. What I think teams should do mock draft came out on the website, cbsports.com on Monday. I had Byron Murphy going 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. No reaction. So that means you don't necessarily hate it.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. I think if it's not there, I still think they should lean towards edge rusher, like a Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, in my opinion, yeah. Dallas Turner. But some team may try to move up because I think he is clearly the best defensive tackle and maybe one of the top, if not the top defensive players in this year's draft. And he's just continued to ascend as we've been through this pre-draft process.
And Debo's got all the graphics ready to go to moment's notice. Higher pressure rate by defensive tackle last season. Byron Murphy's number one by a large margin. Followed by Darius Alexander and Deion Walker. So I was going to follow that up by saying it would not be a stretch to think that Byron could be more disruptive on the interior than maybe a Dallas or Jared Verse would be in year one, just as they learned the on-the-job training?
I'm not going to agree with you that.
Okay. No. All right. We all can't be Kobe Turner. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. And, of course, Caleb Williams is on the list, first overall pick. He did an interview with the Pivot, Ryan Clark's podcast with Fred Taylor and Channing Crowder, and he spoke with a lot of confidence, and he also said something, I don't know if you saw any clips of it, Rick, but he basically keeps receipts, people who say things that he doesn't agree with and disparages him in some form. He makes mental notes and uses that as motivation. Do you care about that as a team drafting a quarterback or any player, or do you want to see it? Where do you weigh in on that?
Yeah, well, if that's how he responds and plays the way he plays, and I'll take him at 8 and tell him we reached on this pick.
Fair enough. Okay. Because I know sometimes you talk to teams, they're like, well, like the Spencer Rattler conversation that he had about you and me. And one team said, well, why is he shouldn't be paying attention to the internet.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Whatever motivates them, I don't care if they have to go in a corner and stand on their head and spit out wooden nickels to get them motivated, just as long as they play when we get there, when they get on our team.
All right. Debo asks, how did these guys make our list? And I think what we want to do here, Debo, just go right to Rick's list. You want to take a quick break first before we do that?
Let's break.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to Rick's list, find out why they made the list, where they get drafted, and who the names are right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Rick, let's get into your list. We have 10 names. We'll go over eight here because we just talked about Caleb and Byron, two players that are on both of our lists. But let's start with Joe Alt. And you can give a little explanation as to why these players made your list, for obviously for different reasons. And then, you know, we've talked to death about where Joe Alt get drafted. We'll go through that with all these other players too. So Joe Alt is at the top of your list of favorite draft prospects.
Yeah, and just to clarify, that Debo did not give a specific number in his emails on what it was. So apparently we're going with eight, which I'm fine with. I just like to know that prior, but
okay. Duly noted, sir. It's in the record.
Debo is going to have all the emails up after the draft.
The receipts, as the kids call them.
Receipts. Joel to me is one of the safest picks in this year's draft. Character, intelligence, left tackle, size, the way he performed at the combine, how he's been ascending through this whole draft process, handled it professionally. I think that he shows more than enough grit as a run blocker. I really like how he finishes. He's athletic in space. My biggest concern with him is because he's so tall in pass protection, he has left tackle feet, but he needs to get his pads lower. He needs to get a little bit more anchor versus power type moves. But I think this guy is a plug and play day one starter, and he doesn't get out of the top 10.
Right, exactly. Seven is the popular landing spot with the Titans. Maybe the Titans straight down, but that makes a lot of sense there. All right, next up on the list. And look, as far as comps go, and I know we're doing some comps on HQ, and I was hesitant to send my along because I know you
get fired. You use all mine, but that's okay.
I thought you wouldn't yell at me if I use yours, so that was part of the thing there. But, I mean, Mike McGlinchey is the obvious one, Notre Dame, 6'8" and a half. But is there a comp for Joe Alt?
Yeah, no, it's not Mike McGlinchey. This guy's a better athlete than Mike McGlinchey.
All right, who is it?
Maybe, yeah. But Mike McGlinchey's on the right side. I don't think he can survive on the left side of the offensive line at left tackle. My pro comp to him was a better version of Jake Matthews when he came out of Texas A&M.
Okay. See, unlike you, I just take your comp and I take it in and then think about it. I don't reactively just say. All right, next up, another player we both love, Roma Dunze, wide receiver, Washington. And again, we've talked Rome to death throughout the draft process, but maybe a different conversation to have is, would you be surprised if he were, say, wide receiver two, for example?
No, I think the more that we know about this player, we know what he did on tape this year, the vertical threat, the ability to go up and high point the ball, the contested catch situation. He's a better athlete after the catch. And I think people anticipated, I thought he took a big jump from the 22 tape to the 23 tape that we saw this year. Checks every box. Again, this is a very safe pick, in my opinion, that you're going to get a very good football player, top character, top intelligence, has been knocking the pre-draft process interviews just out of the park. I know that you have Malik Nabers, you have Marvin Harrison Jr., but I think Roma Dunze, if you want to go for a for sure pick without maybe some question marks, not on the field, but off the field, the way Marvin Harrison Jr. handled this whole pre-draft process. Malik Nabers, I think you just have to make sure you check every box on him, although I think he's the most explosive playmaker. But when a player stays at the combine trying to better his three cone until the janitor shut the lights off in the stadium, I love that competes in him. and he's going to be a great NFL receiver.
All right, I'll ask you again. What was your comp for Rome? Because I liked AJ Brown size wise, but you didn't like that, so I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, you're growing. Your comp's growing on me. I can live with an AJ Brown.
Oh, thank you. Did you have another one, or was that the one you were okay with?
No, I was okay with that one.
Okay.
I didn't have to rip into that too hard.
Excellent. I'll consider that a victory. All right. And
some even compare him to Calvin Johnson.
That's
coming out of Georgia Tech that had a pretty good career with the Detroit Lions.
All right. That's rich. If I'd said that, you would have reached the screen.
I'm just trying to be different.
All right. I appreciate that. I suppose there's a chance he falls out of the top 15, but it feels unlikely, right?
No, he's not going out top 15.
Okay.
No.
Top 12?
No.
I think that's right. Let's do a dollar bet just for fun. I think he's a top 10 pick, but I'll say he goes 12 or higher. So I get 12. 12 to 32, I say. You want under?
Yeah, I'll take under.
All right, Debo, give me that one just for fun. We'll add a couple more dollars to my bill.
So 11 and a half.
11, thank you. You can tell this is a gambling podcast.
Good.
All right.
I need to get that Zemmo thing so I can get actually paid. I don't even know what it is, but people talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you need Zemmo. On the last podcast, the draft podcast, Rick made a dollar bet with Eric Galco, and he said pay him via Zemmo. So if you have Zemmo, send Rick some money. It's Venmo, Rick. Next up, Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State. And this is interesting because Jared's been my edge won by a hair over Dallas. And typically you take Dallas first when we do these mock drafts. Well, why do you have Jared on the list?
Yeah, I love his motor. I love his length. I don't think he's as athletic as Dallas Turner because I've seen Dallas Turner drop in coverage, but he comes, like I said, with a purpose off the edge. I think he can do speed to power. I think he is strong at the point in a run game. I know some of his production this year may have swayed a little bit for whatever reason, but you're getting just one very good football player that another player that I know is checking all the boxes this pre-draft process. And all these guys, and I know going through the draft, they were high character guys, loved the game of football, intelligence, more than smart enough to play the position, that usually those are the guys that are going to be the surest things. And I think he's going to be a very good edge rusher and a complete starter, not just a DPR designated pass rusher, but a complete starter in the NFL.
So my comp for him throughout was a little like he's like 8 pounds lighter, but I think he plays with the same sort of stoutness against the run, especially Jacksonville, Josh Allen.
Yeah, you know who he reminded me of? A longer version of when we had Everson Griffin rolling.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because that speed to power move. And Everson wasn't as tall or as long as this kid, but he had that unique ability to uncoil his hips and knock offensive tackles back into the pocket.
And you'll see this highlight replayed hundreds of times on Thursday when he gets drafted, but the two sacks he had against Louisville, one against Florida, where he picks up the left tackle and throws him to the quarterback. Two of the most amazing plays I remember from the fall watching these guys. All right. So, you know, Eric Galco talked about this on the podcast with the draft on Monday, that sometimes you see him, Jared Verse mock in the 20s, top 15. I'll give you over under. What do you think?
I think he goes in the top 15.
Okay. All right. That's not a dollar bet, Debo. I'm just getting his thoughts on that because that's going to be a close one. All right. Next up, Jackson Powers Johnson. We've talked him to death at this point, too. I talked about this on the podcast yesterday, and Eric agreed, and you agree as well. It sounds like he's slipping out of the first round. I was talking to a scout over the weekend who actually didn't even think his tape was first round worthy, which was interesting to me. But there's a chance now that it feels like, and maybe this has been a consensus among the league for a while, but Graham Barton is probably going to be the first interior offensive lineman, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing some things on it too. I don't know if some teams think he's just a one position guy. I mean, he was the most dominant center, maybe the most dominant interior offensive lineman in this year's draft. I thought he had a really good Senior Bowl, and especially yeah. He could play center or guard. I think he is a powerful center that can create movement at the point, especially versus nose tackles. I think he's stout in pass protection, good enough athlete at the second level. He's another one that finishes and plays with grit and toughness, which I always love when I watch the tape. So I still think he goes in the first round.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at my what team should do mock draft from 2023 a year ago. And I was sort of surprised that even though we talked about this, and I mentioned this because Osiris Torrence fell out of the first round because there were injury concerns about him. He ended up going to the second round of the Bills, starting, I think, every game, if not close to every game. And also had Brian Branch going to the first round. So, you know, sometimes we overthink this thing is the point. We shall see with Jackson Powers Johnson. Next up, you've been talking about this young man since January as well, tight end Ben Sinnott. And he feels like he's gotten lost in the mix because we've talked about the Jared Wileys. I think Jared Wiley has a chance to be a day two guy based on some folks that I've spoken with. And Ben Sinnott has gotten lost in the wash. I still think he's not the athlete of Stan Laporta, but when we talked to him at the combine, he said he told teams that's who he patterns his game after. And I think he's a better athlete than perhaps people maybe give him credit for. And he's gotten better as a blocker, which also provides some inline versatility.
Yeah, I just, again, another really good football player that plays with a chip on his shoulder. I believe he was like a three-star that walked on at Kansas State and had a point to prove and proved it. I think once he gets in the NFL, he's going to have another point to prove. Mm. The reason I like this guy is I think you can play him at multiple positions. You can put him as an H-back. You can put him as a fullback. You can put him on the line of scrimmage as a Y. I love his effort as a blocker, although he's not going to be consistent winning against the bigger defensive ends at the next level. I think he's underrated as an athlete in the coverage, very good hands. He can get some yards after the catch. I just think he may not be unique in one area, but he is very good in all the areas across the board, and teams are going to fall in love with him because of how they can use him multiple ways on their offense.
He's my tight end too. I would take him in the second round. I think he probably more likely goes in round three. I don't know if you agree with that or not. I'll ask you this. Let's do this dollar bet. Who gets drafted first, Jared Wiley or Ben Sinnott?
I'm going to stick with Sinnott, although Wiley I really liked.
That's going to be close. All right, good. Give me Wiley on that one, Debo. We'll see how it goes, but I think that's going to be a close one. And by the way, worth noting, almost 6'4", 250. He ran a 4.68, Ben Sinnott did. The 6.82 three cone is even more impressive. When you talk about some of the three cones, you see cornerbacks who you like on tape run 7.73 three cones, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go. Had a 40-inch vertical. So all those things, measurables, checks off with what you saw on tape and reconfirms the type of athlete he is.
Speaking of already have that bet with Pete. We did that a couple days ago. Oh, but if you want to stack it onto your list, we can do that. So
I don't need to lose another dollar. All right, good. I'm glad you double-checked. Thank you for quality control there. All right. Speaking of favorite players, Ricky Pearsall. Drafted 33rd overall by Rick Spielman's Carolina Panthers in the three-round mock draft, which led Debo to say he would have been there 39, Rick.
Okay. I think in a stacked receiver group in this year's draft, I think once you get through those first four or five, I think teams will have these guys stacked differently. I liked Ricky Pearsall because I think he can play outside. He can play in. He has very good hands. He is fast. I think he ran very fast at the combine.
4.41.
I think he is a very good route runner. There's no question about his courage coming in the middle to take some shots and hang on to the ball. I just think this guy has something unique to him that a lot of receivers don't have. And to me, that's the toughness part of it, where he's not afraid to sacrifice his body to go up and make a catch. So I really like this guy's tape, and he was fun to watch. When he had the opportunity to get the ball in his hands, they'd put him in jet sweeps any way they can get the ball in his hands, because I think he was the most explosive playmaker by far on the offensive side of the ball. So I think he has a bright future and is going to have a very good NFL career.
Second round all day, right?
Oh, yeah. No question.
It doesn't matter, but I'm going to ask anyway. He'll be 24 when the season starts. That his birthday's in September. Do you care?
Nope.
Okay.
Over under pick 33.5.
That's way too juicy. Rick, you can't mess this one up.
No, I'm going to take under. I'm going to say I'll give him a chance to win. I don't care where he goes. I think this guy is going to be a good player, but I'm going to say that Carolina has to seriously consider this football player.
All right. Finally, I won a dollar. If he goes 33, I'm quitting. All right. He's a good football player. 33. Oh, boy, seems rich. All right, next up, Edge Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. He might be the only linebacker that gets drafted in the second round. We'll see. no injury history and incredibly explosive.
Yeah, no, this guy to me was the most explosive athlete at the linebacker position I saw. You know, some get people will say Peyton Wilson, but he's older and he has a durability concerns. This kid has sideline to sideline range. The biggest thing he has to do is to make sure he comes under control. Sometimes he's just flying around and needs to get come to balance at times when he's making an open field tackle. But I think he's very good in coverage. I think he's more than athletic to play man coverage on a tight end. I think he can be disruptive when they send him on blitzes, affecting the quarterback. And this was one of the few linebackers that I seen when he meets a running back in the hole, he knocks them back. Very rarely do you see him give up yards after contact. So an explosive athlete. I don't know where he is from the intelligence standpoint or what he's done in these meetings, but if he is smart enough and can be a green dot where he can call the defenses, I don't know that, but I think that adds even more value. But I think this kid is a very good, to me, the best linebacker I've seen in this year's draft.
Yeah, he weighed 230, which is what you expect to be off all linebackers away. Had 8 sacks, 17 tackles for loss. And as I go through, when I charted his sacks in the pre-draft process, he had a couple sacks. It's just a QB spy, and there was a green dog situation. So he blitzed, got home. He's blitzed off the edge. He blitzes from the slot. You can line him up anywhere, and he can be disruptive. And I think he had 11 missed tackles, as you spoke about, Rick, but you like the fact that he's playing with his hair on fire. You can sort of dial that back as opposed to trying to get him to get after.
Yeah, no, this guy is fun to watch on tape.
All right, another guy that's fun to watch. Had another good Senior Bowl, and I don't think he's being slept on anymore, but for the last month or so, we weren't talking a lot about him. But you talked him up. You talked up Tyke Smith, and Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers, has a chance to perhaps go higher than people probably thought day three coming out of the Senior Bowl. He could be a top 60 guy.
Yeah, no, I think he'll be day two. I think teams are going to be talking about him in the second round. Watched him earlier in the season. I thought he was a day three pick, but the more you watch him, he just continued to grow on me. Athletic. He can play outside. He can play over the slot and nick. I think he's multi-positional. I love the way he comes up and competes and runs support. I think he has quickness and twitch out of his transition to close on routes in front of him. A little hesitant at times when he has to turn and gets threatened vertically down the field, but I think that can be cleaned up from a technical standpoint. This guy, we talked about, is it Izeen from last year, who ended up having an impact from Rutgers, signed as a college free agent with Tampa. I think this guy is more talented. He's more position, has more position versatility. I think this guy is going to be one of those corners that maybe you're going to say may develop into the one of the best corners coming out of this year's draft before it's said and done. Maybe not at the beginning, but 3 or 4 years down the road, you're going to say, this kid is one of the top corners that came out of this year's draft.
No, I love that. He played primarily outside at Rutgers, but when he did play inside, he was physical. He was comfortable. He didn't look lost, and he had some good reps against Roman Wilson. He had some good reps against Marvin Harrison Jr., chasing those guys all over the field, and that's sort of what you want to see. And the measurables check out with what you were talking about, Rick. He was only 5'10", 187, ran a 4.39, 40.5-inch vertical, 11.4 broad. Those are insane numbers for anybody.
Yeah, he reminded me a little bit of Martavius Martin, who came out of Illinois last year.
Oh yeah, Quan. That's right.
Or yeah, Quan. Yeah.
Yeah. We called him Tartavius, and he said I go by Quan, and then it took me a minute to remember who he is. So second round, Max.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he gets out of the second round.
All right, we breezed through that, Rick. Those are Rick's guys, in addition to the Caleb and Byron Murphy we talked about at the top. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about my guys, all 8 of them, right after this.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus. From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
All right, Rick. Time to go to my list. And by the way, I just want to say this quickly because of the miracle of television. I'm struggling with my Spencer Rattler comp. So if anyone has a good Spencer Rattler comp, let me know, because the one I came up with, I was just ridiculed on television about. So I don't even want to say it.
Ridiculed. It is what it is. Just say it.
I don't feel bad about the bad comp because you made me oblivious to that, but I do feel bad about disrespecting my guy, Spencer Rattler. As you pointed out, he may like you more than me by the time.
I think he's starting to turn a corner towards me. I like you, but not you, mister.
I think Debo's right. Just go with Patrick Mahomes and you can't go wrong. That's my comp right now for Spencer. All right, let's go to my list. And this is a guy we've talked a lot about. Ups and downs throughout the draft process, Keon Coleman. He's at the top for me. 4.6140. We can talk this to death as we've done at this point. Time way faster than that. One of the fastest timed gauntlet drill players. I think he plays fast. I was talking to someone in the league about him over the weekend, and they said his Michigan State tape is a lot more indicative of what he may look like in terms of route running at the next level because of what they asked him to do. The Florida State routes are pretty elementary and don't necessarily translate. It's a lot of stop routes and in-breaking routes, not necessarily running the entire route tree. And I think the fact that he just turned 21, he has a chance to be a lot better. We talked about that with Drake May 2-3 years from now. So not a first round pick, but I would take him in the second round and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, no, I think he's a really good football player. The 4.6 probably knocked him out of the first round, even though he plays faster than that on tape. And you love the big body, the ability to go up and make contested catches. So I think someone's going to get a very good football player if they get him in the second round.
Would you take him at 39, I believe, is when the Panthers have their second first-round pick?
Ooh, it depends who I took at 33.
Not Ricky Pearsall? Is that too rich for you, the low 30s, high 30s?
No, okay. I think he'll go in the top 10 in the second round.
All right, next up, a guy who maybe if he'd run a 4-4-1, we're having a different conversation. I thought he played plenty fast. And it's Rake Straw Jr. Talked to him at the Combine. 5'11", I think he weighed like 189. Similar in height and weight to Devin Witherspoon, who was a top five pick. Didn't run in the 4.3s. He plays with that sort of physicality. He's not at that level of cornerback play, but I think he's pretty high up there. I like him in the first round, but I think you've had him probably going closer to somewhere mid to early round two. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no, I think that he'll be a second round talent, but he is as talented as Missouri was with the defensive players last year on the roster. I think this kid was a tone setter, and it's hard to find a corner that plays with this mentality that he does. Cause I think he'll come up and try to rack you as many times as he can. Although he gets out of control at times, we saw his competitiveness. We talked about it on tape. We talked about it when he was up on the stage, just a really good football player that may not be as physically gifted is Witherspoon, who came out last year from Illinois, but that's plays with that same type of mentality.
Yeah, he was only 183, and I do wonder, is any of this an Emmanuel Forbes pushback effect, or is it just a function of historically smaller cornerbacks?
I don't know. Are you pushing back on Wiggins? Because he's only in the 170s.
No, that one I love. I think he's okay. He's longer, though. He's longer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Longer and faster.
Question answered.
Question asked, question answered. All right, next up. This is a guy we actually haven't talked a lot about unless we're doing the mock drafts in the second round and teams looking for a center in round two. And Zach Frazier out of West Virginia's name comes up a lot. I think he's moves incredibly well in space, feels like a day one zone blocking scheme guy because of his ability to move laterally. He can lock up guys too in one-on-one situations. He can sometimes get pushed around there, but he's not slight of frame. He's almost 6'3". He's in the 310s. His arms are plenty long enough at 32 inches. And I even wrote down some teams that might be interested in him. Pittsburgh, obviously, we talked a lot about. Tampa Bay, Seattle, maybe even Tennessee, even though they signed. I think they signed Lloyd Cushenberry, if I recall correctly. But where are you on Zach Frazier, especially as we try to rank these centers, number one and number two? Any chance he sneaks into round one?
No, I think he's a second-round talent. The reason I say that is because he is probably looked at as a center only. So if you're going to draft him in the first round, he better be your starter right off the get-go. I think this guy will be a starting center in the league. I think it may name take him some time. I believe, if I recall, Ryan, you can correct me, that he broke his fibula during the season, missed some time. But this is a tough hombre. For what I love the best about centers, four-time state high school wrestling champ, so he knows how to use that leverage. He's kind of a dirty, gritty, tough guy when you watch him on tape. I thought he was a little bit athletically limited on the outside zone stuff, but I think he'll fight you to the end, and I think he's going to claw his way into a starting position sooner rather than later, but a center only, which may hurt his value.
So let's assume that the Steelers get him at 51 or whatever, and you're not sure he's a day one guy. What's your plan B if you're Pittsburgh then? Or does that prompt you to draft a Graham Barton earlier?
Well, that's what you're having in these meetings. Hey, we got an opportunity to take Graham Barton, but I haven't seen him play center. We're projecting in the center. Yeah. We know what this guy is. Graham Barton probably has a higher ceiling than Zach Frazier. I think Zach Frazier will be probably a good to moderate NFL starter. I don't think he'll have a Pro Bowl type career where you may hit on a Graham Barton as a potential Pro Bowler.
So John Michael Schmidt and Tippmann of the Jets were second rounders last year, I recall, and then Zach Frazier. How would you rank those guys in terms of guys you would take?
I had Zach Frazier just right behind those two guys.
Okay. And John Michael Schmidt was a wrestler too. He's a little taller, if I recall. All right, next up on my list, and we talked about him early in the process, circle back in the fall, because we were talking about Chop Robinson, who played opposite him at the edge rush position at Penn State. And then he went to the Senior Bowl and had some good moments. Adisa Isaac, who's came in at 6'4", just a shade under 250, ran 4.74. I mean, he does all the things you want him to do in terms of the measurables. I thought he had some juice off the edge. And I thought the thing with Adisa was that I would like to see him be a little more stout against the run. But again, these are things you can get better at when you get stronger and as you get older. And I went back and looked at my notes, Rick. Tully Fuaga in one-on-one drills ate him up on one rep, which isn't necessarily as a bull rush. And not surprising that that would be Fuaga's strength. And then the next rep, Isaac beat him with a speed rush. And I think that's sort of who Isaac is right now. But he can certainly get better. What do you think about Adisa Isaac? I think he's probably going to be day two, maybe even round two guy.
Yeah, day two guy. The difference is when you watch him and you watch Chop Robinson coming off the other edge, this guy is a little stiffer through his lower. There's no question about the first step quickness that he has. You said it, and you stated the speed off the edge. I just didn't know if he was as fluid through his lower body where he can bend and maybe do some of the athletic finesse type moves that Chop Robinson's going to be able to do, but I think this guy is going to carve himself into a DPR role pretty early in his career, designated pass rusher.
All right. Would you take him in round two?
I would, yes. I had him and Braswell from Alabama traveling together. So be interested to see which one of those two come off. Do you care to make a dollar bet?
I love Christian Braswell too. I actually moved him down a little bit. Because I think teams don't love him as much as I do. You tell me and I'll take the
other. No. I always got to be the one. And you're always complaining. So you get to take which one's coming off the board for a dollar.
I'm taking Christian Braswell. I still like him better.
Okay. You got that, Debo? And you can give it to Debo's Zenmo.
That might be two straight wins for Ryan.
Okay.
Now Debo going against the Penn State guy. He's done with Penn State. All right, what about this? One more dollar bet and we'll move on. You can have Adisa Isaac and Chris Braswell going off first, or you get Marshawn Nealon going first.
I don't understand. What are you asking me?
If either Christian Braswell or Adisa Isaac gets drafted before Marshawn, you win. Or if Marshawn gets drafted before...
Oh, no. It's not even compared. The Alabama and Penn State are both going before Marshawn.
Oh, I'll take that dollar bet, Debo, because I think teams are higher in Marshawn than maybe.
I'll definitely take that bet.
Okay. So they're both going to be gone before.
I have some inside scoop, so I'm going to I don't bet unless I'm pretty sure I'm going to win.
That is true, too. Thanks for sharing the inside scoop before I made my bet, though. That's all right. Adisa,
we've been mocking Chop to the Lions at 29. I think we just heard that Adisa is going there at 29.
No, he's not.
You know what's funny? Rick said something, a few weeks ago now about you would take Drake May at number two. And some folks on Twitter took that to mean that Drake May is definitely going number two to Washington because you weren't there. I said, all right, well, I hope no one's betting the farm on that. That's just
Don't bet the farm on that one.
Oh, so Jaden's going. There we go. We got it at him again, Debo. Got him. All right. Next up, We have not talked about this young man at all. We've rarely talked about the running backs, but he's been getting a little pub recently, and I thought it's worth getting him on the radar. Tyrone Tracy, running back out of Purdue, started his career at Iowa, where for 3 years, I think he was a wide receiver, Rick. So he gives you that sort of versatility. He's older. He's already 24 right now. He's not going to be a day one or day two pick. But I think he gives you a little juice in the backfield. He's sort of a straight line, one cut and go guy with a little versatility as a receiver. I don't know if you had any thoughts. I had a chance to watch him, but just something different in terms of running back we have yet to talk about.
Yeah, way to be different. But I, you know who I like better than him?
Who?
The New Hampshire running back.
Oh, Lobby?
Lobby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would go with Lobby before
Interesting.
Him.
He's younger because, I mean, this guy, I mean, again, he transferred after several years at Iowa and then changed positions. And All right. So you think Lobby gets drafted first. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. I'll take Tracy. Let's get this. I'm going to be hundreds of dollars in debt to you by the time this thing is over. So I say Tyrone Tracy gets drafted before Dylan Lobby. I'm not sure Dylan's getting drafted though, unless you have some more inside information you're not willing to share.
If they both don't get drafted, then it's a push.
It's a push. Okay.
I'm saying 6th, 7th round that I would take the New Hampshire Lobby over.
Whoever signs their undrafted free agent contract first, that's the winner.
Doubles the bet. All right, next up, tight end Tanner McLaughlin. Emory Hunt and I did a hit on HQ over the weekend, and I brought him up. And I've been meaning to talk about him for a while because, again, when we talk about the tight ends, it's Brock Bowers, and then we get to Benson and occasionally. And you mentioned Kate Stover's gaining some steam, and I think he has a chance. He might be tight end two by the time it's all said and done, which is interesting. But in terms of a pure pass catcher, huge target. No drops last year on 55 targets. He can play in the slot, ran a 4.61. He's a build-up speed guy, but he's a threat down the field, big catch radius, red zone threat, all those other things. And I thought his athleticism was refreshingly surprising to watch as we were going through these tight ends.
Yeah, the only thing is when I watched him, I didn't see that 4.61 speed on tape. He looks a little bit more like a plotter.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, but I do agree with the hands, the catching radius. I think he'll give effort as a blocker, but that's not going to be where he makes a living. But I think he could be a good second or third tight end. And I think that he's going to be a better kind of short to intermediate receiver than a deep threat down the seams at the NFL level. But I do recognize his hands, his ability to catch the ball.
All right, I'm trying to find a guy that we can match up in terms of a dollar bet. How about Tanner McLaughlin or Florida State Jaheim Bell, that tight end?
I'm going to put it on you since you love this kid and think he's a unique athlete as a tight end, him or Wiley from TCU?
It's close.
You take your guy and I'll take Wiley, and I bet you Wiley goes before him.
Yeah, but it's close for me. I think NFL teams like Wiley better, so you're just making a dollar.
I'm just asking you. You're the one that's a GM.
Well, if I'm doing the draft, then I'm taking McLaughlin with the first round pick and I win, but I'm not the GM. I don't get to draft these kids.
GM of the show. I'm just a guy in the corner trying to learn every day I'm on the show with you.
Do not write that bet down in pen, Debo, because there's no way Wiley doesn't go before.
Yeah, you can say no.
I am saying no.
You're saying no what?
To that bet. Wiley's going to go first. Wiley's going to go in the third round.
Okay. All right. Don't support your guys.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you think Tanner McLaughlin goes in round 3?
No, absolutely not.
Then why would I take the bet? I like Tanner. I think he has a chance to go in round 4.
I think he'll go after round 4. I don't think he goes in round 4.
All right, I'll do that bet then. I'll say Tanner 4, you say after 4. Okay, make that bet, Debo. I do have that much faith in my guy. But these tight ends often get pushed down, and we like them more than the teams do when there are other needs on the board. All right, next up, offensive tackle, Caden Wallace. He was at the Shrine Bowl. And, you know, we talked a lot about Christian Jones, the right tackle out of Texas. I think Caden Wallace is in that conversation in terms of being maybe a day two guy. You shaking your head, Rick?
No, I don't like him. I think.
I think he's... He can be plotting at times.
Plotting? The guy's like a Clydesdale.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Earth mover is how I call guys who are Clydesdales. He's an earth mover. And I think his future may be inside.
Yes. And if you can envision a plow horse back in the day when the settlers were trying to plow fields, I would hook a harness up to this guy and he can plow the hell out of some fields. Now he is
literally earth moving. That's it. That's it.
That's my earth moving description.
Okay. So you like Christian Jones better than him. I think I do too.
Yeah.
But, I'll be interested to see how high he gets drafted, because I know some teams are sniffing around him and he has a chance to be a top 100 guy, but I wanted to get him on the list because we didn't talk a lot about him through the process. And finally, a guy that I think you like too, and I remember watching him before the Senior Bowl, and I was like, okay, this guy's fun. Ketan Oladipo, the safety out of Oregon State. I love his physicality. I like his ability to cover the tight ends and running backs, and he'll knock you in the mouth on those short and intermediate routes in front of him. I think he struggles down the field, and I think you have to keep him closer to the line of scrimmage, a little stiff in his movements laterally and change direction wise. But that's why keep everything in front of him, let him come downhill and just start blowing things up. Where are you on Ketan Oladipo?
No, I like him as a football player. I think he's a good football player, but I want to direct a question back to you.
Yeah.
Why is Hicks so much better than this guy?
I think Hicks moves better in space. And I went back and watched him, because I was initially, when I watched him in the fall, I had like a fourth or fifth round grade on him. Then people kept talking about him. I went back and looked at my notes, and my notes were that he plays well downhill. He's pretty good in coverage. I went back and watched, and I was like, okay, he's better than I thought he was. I think Keaton's a little stiffer in his movements in the middle of the field. I give him credit. He got burned on a couple of over routes. I give him credit for not giving up on the play. I think he made the tackle down the field. So I appreciate that about him. But, you know, I don't know if I feel comfortable having him in the middle of the field trying to cover someone one-on-one with a game on the line.
And you do with Hicks?
Feel better about it with Hicks. I'm not taking anybody in the first round at safety. Yeah, I feel better about it with Hicks.
Okay.
You like this guy?
They're both, to me, they were both similar. They're both very good football players.
Okay.
So I think they're both better at the line of scrimmage. I'll do give you, I think Hicks, even though he has some physical limitations, he may be a little bit more athletic in space than Oladipo.
I would take Oladipo in the fourth round. What do you think about that?
I would.
Okay. All right. So you don't even feel crazy about that.
No.
It looks like Jaden Hicks, has a chance to go in the second round. Is that too rich for you?
Yeah, for me it is.
All right. That's fine. That's why we talk about it. That's it, Debo. I think we're done.
Didn't have Spencer Rattler on this list?
I think we've talked Spencer enough, and after the way I disparaged him in that segment we did on HQ.
How can you go on and not have Spencer Rattler on your list? It's just fascinating.
Listen, I have a 45-minute package already to go to HQ the moment he's drafted, so there's plenty of Spencer Rattler love to come. It's going to be, you know, when you stop the game, when you score your 10,000th point or whatever, and you give him the game ball, that's what's going to happen to me when Spencer gets drafted. We're going to stop the game. Someone's going to hand me flowers. I'm going to get my Spencer Rattler plaque. It's like senior day. So there's plenty of time for Spencer Rattler.
Did we bet what round Spencer Rattler's going in?
You're reading my mind. All right, let's do that. So I'm going to say round 3.
Nope.
Good. Another dollar coming my way. So what? All right. So I win the dollar bet on the round.
We did make a bet.
Oh, dang it. Was that the same bet?
Over under pick 65.
Oh, gosh. Did I take under that?
You did.
All right, fine. I'm sticking with it. All right, let's take another bet on Spencer Rattler, Rick. What round does he get drafted? You have to tell me the round. I'll tell you which side I want to be on.
Fourth?
Oh, that's not even – I thought you were going to be bold. Okay. That's not a bet. You have to take him in the fourth. There's no way about – no way you don't take him in the fourth.
Hey, you're flustered today.
I am flustered. Yeah. All right, one more Spencer bet. Who gets drafted first? Michael Pratt?
Spencer. I can't take it anymore.
Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler?
Ooh. I'll bet a dollar. I'm going to go with Pratt.
Okay, good.
Just we also have that bet already with Pete.
Oh, right, Pete. Well, Pete hates he loves Spencer. I mean, he loves Michael Pratt, so that makes sense. All right. All right, well, Debo, come up with some new dollar bets, because we've got them all. I'm going to be down $400.
You're good. We're around like 30 total right now. We got a couple days left.
I think last year I took an absolute bath. I think I won 2 out of like 16 or something.
It wasn't good.
It was not good.
I think it was 14-7.
Oh, okay.
Which is it was only better than you would think.
Yeah. Absolutely better than I would think. All right. That's it for our favorite 2024 NFL draft prospects. Debo, help me with the math here. So Today's Tuesday. Wednesday, we're doing a... Just tell us the schedule, Debo, because I don't know it.
Wednesday through Friday, we'll be on CBS Sports Network at 2 o'clock each day. Wednesday is going to be a mock draft with Emery Hunt. Thursday will be draft day burning questions. Maybe we'll get a little inside the war room from Rick Spielman. And then Friday, we'll have a network show. But also, Thursday through Saturday, post-round, 4 a.m. maybe, round-by-round recaps, winners, losers, grades, all that fun stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, so we got a lot to do, Rick. So get your reps in because it's go time.
Looking forward to it, buddy.
All right. The next time I see Rick, it'll be in Stamford, Connecticut. And thanks to all you guys who watch and listen. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Debo. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.